All right, thankful for that song. Make sure, let's leave our Bibles open to Joshua chapter number 22 this morning. And we're going to look at the story here, and we'll explain it to you, and we're going to teach you something from it this morning. We're in a series called the Just a Simple Christian Life. So I've mentioned over the last few weeks that we've done it, is that I just believe God lays out some simple principles in the Bible. And those principles, if we follow, it's easy to live the Christian life. I don't think God makes it complicated. That doesn't mean there's not difficulties. That doesn't mean we don't have to go through things or whatever. But it's not a complicated thing. And so we've been talking about many different principles, I think, that would help us along this line. And we're going to see it tonight. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that as we live the Christian life, we need to settle into it. It needs to become who we are. The word settled means firm, immovable. It's like moving in for the long haul. I gave the illustration of the difference between a renter and an owner, okay? And I've been both. We rented property. We lived in rented houses and apartments for the first half of our marriage. And we enjoyed that. But when we bought our home and we owned it, it was a different mentality. When we were renters, we didn't invest a lot of money in the property, okay? We did bare minimum. We bought furniture, we kept it painted, we cleaned it up, but we weren't making a lot of wholesale improvements. I wasn't going to remodel their kitchens for them. I wasn't going to remodel the bathrooms because I'm a renter. It's kind of like when you rent have a rental car, right? No one washes a rental car. You get that thing and you want to make sure when you get it back, it's as dirty as possible and you've got every penny out of it, all right? But when you own a home, it's different. You see that bathroom, it's like I'm willing to invest in there and put the time and effort and remodel it because I own this and it's an investment in the property. If nothing else, it's adding value to the property. That's a different mentality. Most people have a renter's mentality when it comes to Christianity. How little can I do? How little time can I put into it? How little can I invest into it? God wants us to have a settled owner's mentality. This is my faith. I am willing to die for it. I understand the investment that it takes, and I'm willing to be committed to it. You don't try to change Christianity to fit your life. You change your life to fit Christianity and the truth of Scripture. And so I want us to look at that this morning about being settled as a Christian. We have an interesting story here in Joshua chapter number 22. The background of the story is there were 2.5 tribes. God had wanted them to go through the wilderness, and then they were going to cross over the Jordan River, and they were going to get their land, Canaan land, the promised land. And so as they're doing that, they fought a couple battles and a couple of the nations attacked them and God gave them the victory and really gave them that land. And these 2.5 tribes came to Moses and said, look, I know that our land's going to be on the other side of the Jordan, but this land is perfect for us. You know, we have cattle and this or that, and this fits us perfectly. Why don't you give us this land for our inheritance on the other side of the Jordan? Moses said, that's fine, but there's one thing you have to do. Get your cities ready and leave your families behind, and all the men of war, you're going to cross over the Jordan, and you're going to come into the promised land, and you are going to help your brethren fight to get possession of their land. And then once you're done, you can go home. And they thought that was a great idea. And so as you get to the end of Joshua, they've pretty much settled into the land. They've pretty much got, there's a small skirmishes and battles they're supposed to fight. But they were pretty much done. And so Joshua pulls the 2.5 tribes in and he says, you know what? It's all good now. It's now time for you to go home and possess your land. They had been away for several years. Then they leave and go on their way to possess their land. They are going home now to settle in to the land and the life that God gave to them. That's how we should be in our Christian life. We need to be settled into our Christian life. Now, there is a negative part of being settled, and I'll get to that. But really, we do need to be settled in. As we are, when we're from the time we're saved, as we start living as a Christian, it ought to just become who we are. That ought to just be our home. We own it. And this is who we are, and this is where we're going to be. When we settle in, that means we've already made some progress. We're becoming committed. We're making a lot of changes. We've seen God's hand work in our life. We're experiencing God's blessing, and I'm all in on living for Jesus Christ. But if we are not careful, there is also a downside to becoming settled, and I'm not going to necessarily look at that. You can become apathetic, right? Like, well, I'm just used to this. You can start to take things for granted. You can be neglectful in your Christian life, and that's things we all have to fight. But just because we have to fight that doesn't mean that we shouldn't settle in and not let the complacency set in. By the way, we do have to fight complacency, right? You know, you buy a new car and you don't let anybody, you know, like, breathe. Like, this is my car. How many of you like the new car smell, right? I know they have the little fragrance, new car smell. It's not the same thing. Don't even bother with it. But it's like, you know, when you get into my car, I want you to take a deep breath and don't exhale until I get you to where you're going. It's like, in fact, I don't even want you to sit on the seats. I want you to hover, okay? And then 6 months later, somebody you don't even know has to borrow your car and you throw them the keys. They don't have a license. They don't want to drive. Like, sure, go ahead and take it because you've gotten used to it. And I hope we never get used to the Christian faith. And there's many other things that'll happen. Now, that's the possible danger, and we need to be careful about it. But as time goes on and you become more knowledgeable in the faith, you are apt sometimes to take it for granted. Statistics tell us that the average church member lasts about 7 years. Do you know that during COVID, when for those short few months when we were not able to have church, not necessarily here, but statistics tell us in America that 20% of church members that during COVID never came back. They just tapped out. They're like, we're done. We're out of here. That's not shocking. There are a lot of used to Christians everywhere, right? You know, I used to go to church. I used to give. I used to serve. I used to do all these things. God doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us to be settled into our faith in a good way. To where that's who we are. This is what I am. This is the ground I'm going to stand on. This is the sword I'm willing to die on. And I'm going to stick with it. So if we're going to be settled, it's the right thing, the right way. There are some things we need to understand and constantly remember. Let me give you a couple of them from the story here in chapter 22. First of all, we need to remember the results. Look at chapter 22 and we'll read the verses. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. These were the 2.5 tribes. And said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I have commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord. So before Joshua sends them on their way, he is going to commend them for what they have already done to get to this place. They did everything that Joshua and Moses told them to do. They followed through on it. They had stuck closely by their brethren faithfully. Could you imagine that it would have been easy for them not to? Their families were on the other side of the Jordan. Their families were already living in a different land. And here they are, literally fighting for their brethren, and they were very, very faithful to it. And they fought fiercely. But as they are going to go their way, these are the same things that they must do as they finally settle into their land. In other words, that is what we must be totally on guard for the longer we serve the Lord. We must constantly remember the things, now listen to this, that got us to where we were at. They were going to go back and they would not necessarily have all of these battles, but they needed to be on guard. And they needed to have the same fervency, they needed to have the same faithfulness, and they needed to have the same willingness to fight, if necessary, that they had those years that they were over there helping their brethren. They had to keep going. If you did not grow up as a Christian, and you got saved later on in life, or you committed your life to the Lord later in life, as you started settling in the Christian way of living, I want you to remember, there were a lot of things that you had to go through. I think of it in my life. When I was 18 and I'm like, I am going to live a completely different life. I am not going to be who I used to be. I'm going to settle in and become a Christian. And you may have went through that process as well. There were probably some people in your life who were not compatible with a Christian lifestyle. And I'm not saying to be mean to them. But you know, there were some people that I hung around with that I had to be careful about. I couldn't hang around with them anymore. Because when I was with them, they wanted to do things that were incompatible with my faith. And I wasn't mean-spirited to them. I just had to make sure that I had a little bit of a distance between them. Though they didn't share my values. They mocked my beliefs. I remember, I didn't just give up on my friends. I would bring them to church. And I tried to get them to be saved. And I remember I brought a group of my friends one night to church, and we're sitting in church, and I got in the row with my family, and they sat in the row behind me. And as the pastor was preaching, they were openly and outwardly, vocally criticizing everything he said. And they didn't understand, but I'm like, that's why I can't spend a lot of time around them. Now, I had some that came and got saved. But I had to be very careful. I didn't want to go to certain places and do certain things. If you got saved later on in life, there were probably some habits or sins that were not Christian that had to be changed or discarded. And you can think through all of that. By the way, if you're new, let me explain this. If you are new as a Christian, it's just you have to change some things. There are some things that you've been doing, as I was doing, that just are against the scripture. I didn't know it, but once I found out, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. This sin, this habit is going to cause me to walk away from Christ, and I'm not doing that. There were probably forms of entertainment that you would engage in that you cannot now as a Christian. There was a lot of stuff that I listened to, the music I listened to, and concerts I went to. I'm like, I can't do that anymore. That is not compatible to faith. In fact, it is contradictory to my Christian faith. Things that we watch. There were probably values that you had that would have separated you from living like a Christian. There were things I believed. And as I looked at the Bible, I'm like, I can't believe that anymore because God doesn't believe that. You know, we call that having a biblical mindset, a biblical worldview. We ought to view the world through the truth of the Word of God if we're a Christian. And many of us, we've done these things. We've changed beliefs. But here's the deal. Just because you've made some changes doesn't mean that you don't need to be on guard so you don't stay where you're at. See? Just because the battle was over for the 2.5 tribes and they went home, they couldn't be sloppy about their faith. All they had done to make progress in the land there, they needed to bring that attitude and that spirit back home to their families and do the same thing. If we're not careful, we start allowing these things to come back in our life. You start adapting these values in the Christian life, you got to be on guard. We start letting relationships into our life that would be detrimental to our faith. We slowly go back to some of these habits and some of these sins that we had victory over in the past. We start allowing some of the forms of entertainment that we once thought caused us grief in our faith. We start slipping back to that. We adopt the same values that we had separated from. And if we're not careful, we'll start letting some of those anti-biblical beliefs back into our mind. Here's the point. Don't lose the ground you've gained. Amen. Moses said, you fought. You did exactly what you're supposed to do. You've gained the ground. Now go home and do the same thing. Go home and be what you are. By the way, let me say this before we move on. That is a huge danger for our second generation Christians. My kids didn't have to fight the battles that I had to fight. They did not have to make the changes I had to make because they grew up in a Christian family. But if we're not careful, we take our second generation, our young people, will not understand what we had to go through to serve and live for Christ, and they will sloppily let this stuff into their life. That's why we need to train them up in the way of the Lord. And so we need to remember the results. We also need to get some rest. Look at verse 4. And now, the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. They were getting in the land now, and the battles were coming to an end, and now it was setting up shop and getting their lives and their families all settled away, their careers, their farms, and all the different things, and they didn't have that threat of constant war on their mind. He gave them rest. Now, therefore, return ye and get you into your own tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, hath given you. Now that they had done fighting with their brethren, not with them, but for them, and brought them to rest, they too would go home and experience a rest. By the way, that's what Christianity can do for you. You see, if you've lived in such a way that there's been a lot of drama and a lot of battle and a lot of warfare in your life, do you know that when you grow from that, you get victory in those areas? Every area of your life gets better. By the way, your relationships will get better. And you're starting to experience, I hate to say this, but I think you understand, like a normal life. It's not normal to constantly have drama. It's not normal to go from problem to problem to problem. That's abnormal. And it's not for the Christian. Yes, there's things we have to deal with. I get all that. But that should not be part of it. There is so much that comes into our life that's self-inflicted. And we make progress and we win these battles, and God's giving us harmony and peace and joy in our lives. There's a rest. That's what the Lord wants for us. I'm not saying that there's not occasional battles, because there still was. But they were going to experience some blessing from God. Living settled in the Christian life brings rest. That's what Jesus called the abundant life. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I'm in. I want that. We experience the blessings of God. Whereas before you may not have seen God do things in your life, and now you see him in the situations of your life. You experience the rewards of obedience. You enjoy fellowship of learning the scriptures and reading the scriptures, and you love your time with God. You have a Christian family. You have a church family. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. In fact, all these things should be a part of our life. But you know, all those things I just mentioned, there's a troubling word that I had in front of all of them, the word we. All these things are coming our way. And if we're not careful, we start to get selfish about them. We start to focus more on what we're getting from Christ instead of what we're willing to give to Christ. We're more focused on getting all these things taken care of, and we're not willing to lift a hand to help anything. We become so comfortable in our rest that we're not willing to fight anymore. They didn't have to fight all the time, but can I just tell you something? There were some times they need to stand up and say no. Do you know, Satan is not going to be happy with you living a restful life. He's still going to try to throw sin in your face, and you need to say no. And we get victory over these things, but Satan never gives up, and so he tries to slip in through the back door. He'll try to get you involved in what we call lesser things that are wrong, but it's all taking you down a step. You start to get victory over maybe some bad habits in your life. And then if you're not careful and you get settled in it and you let your guard down because you're resting, they start to slip back into our life. I've seen far too many people over the years of working in a church and working in the ministry who God's done things in their life, and years down the road, because they weren't careful and because they got complacent, those things slip right back into their life. They weren't careful. We have to fight that. We don't fight, and here's one, we don't fight to keep our kids spiritually right. How can we allow God to work in our life and clean us up, and then we're sloppy with our children? We allow this stuff into their life, and we're putting them now at risk. You know why? Because we're complacent. Don't be complacent. Yes, enjoy the rest that God gives you because of your faith, but always be on guard and vigilant for when you need to step up and say, no, this is my line. I'm not crossing this. And then he talks thirdly about responsibility. Responsibility. Look at verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. I mean, they already had, right? They're going home. But he's not only just sending them home, he's trying to teach them, when you go home, here's what you need to do. And really, all he's telling them is everything that God had told them before they ever went into the promised land. He says, but take diligent deed unto the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your responsibilities. You see, they had been faithful to follow God. They had been faithful to keep God's commandments and going over and fighting and doing everything they were supposed to do. And now he says, when you go home, let me just tell you something, that's not over. You still need to follow God's law. You still need to keep his commands. Be spiritually responsible. Far too many Christians are spiritually irresponsible. We are so sloppy when it comes to the principles of the Word of God. We are so sloppy in our obedience to God, and it comes back to get us. It's amazing. It amazes me how people who are Christians will be responsible in secular areas of their life and sloppy in spiritual areas of their life. You want me to really be pointed and practical for a minute? Just forgive me. So here's a person that'll never miss work, but yet they'll miss church at the drop of a hat. Right? I mean, they start work at 7, 7:30, 8 in the morning. They're never late, and they can't get to Sunday school at 9:30. Church at 10:30. I know things happen. But, and I'm not picking at you. I'm not. I'm just trying to teach us that it is so easy for that mentality to creep in, right? Like, well, it's just church. You know? I mean, you know, you never miss a meal. Or, no, some of us don't eat breakfast. Like, you never miss your coffee. But you'll miss days on end without reading your Bible. It's not that we're bad people. It's that we're sloppy. It's not that God's not important to us. It's that we're not fulfilling our responsibilities. We don't see it. Well, you know what? It's not that big a deal. It is a big deal. Because the small defeats lead to the major defeats. That's how that works. He said, be responsible. He said, be responsible to live. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments. You see, you know you're settled in the Christian life when you're living it every day of your life. When it's not just coming to church, it's the tentacle of the scriptures reaches its way into every part of your life. Like, you make decisions based on what God said. You know, your boss comes to you and says, hey, I need you to lie. And you're like, I can't lie. Well, it's just business. But Jesus is my business. Now we're really meddling, right? But you understand what I'm saying. You're saying, you make those decisions, you know, well, you know, I have a family member or a good friend. They're pushing me to make this decision. And you know it's wrong, and you're, don't give in to the peer pressure. It's like, you know what? Truth says that you don't do that. So we want to be responsible to live. We want to be responsible to love the Lord your God. And that, and you already know, I won't spend any time on this. Obedience is always tied to love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then he talks about being latched to him and to cleave unto him. Let me ask you, how close are you to Jesus? How tied in are you to the faith? What does it say about marriage? Leave father and mother and cleave. Is that how you feel about the Lord? Are you that close to the Lord? Like, I am tied in. This is that kind of commitment. And so we're that close. Obedience and love are so, so tied together. That's how do I be cleaved? I love the Lord and I do exactly what he says. And then he says we're supposed to serve him with all of our heart. We labor for him. What are you doing for him? So what does it mean to serve the Lord? You know, it's you get involved in ministries and serving through your church. That's when Christianity goes from what is God giving to me to what can I take from God and give to others? What is God doing for me through others, and how can I turn around, flip around, and how can I do that for others? That's our responsibility. And then lastly, he gives a reminder. I'm going to share a little of the story at the end. We didn't read the whole chapter. I'll give you the basis of it. Look at verse 10. So the 2.5 tribes are going home. When they go home, they're going to have to cross the Jordan and go to their land, which was separated from the promised land. Okay? And so there's that break there. And when they came to the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see by. So they decide right there by the riverside, they're going to build an altar, a big altar. Now, the other tribes hear about it, and they get smoked. They're like, these people are already going into idolatry. And for God, idolatry was a no-no. Idolatry was going to bring judgment on them, and they would start having more battles, and they would lose those battles. And so these tribes, they suit up. They're like, even if they're our brethren, if they're trying to bring a false god, we'll go to war with them. We are not going to let false god into our land. And so they head off, and they go and talk to them, and the 2.5 tribes explain to them their reasons for building this altar. Look at verse 24. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, they're explaining why they built this altar. In time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have we to do with the Lord God of Israel? They said, one day is going to come, and your children, because we're on the other side of the river, say, they're not like us. They're not our brethren anymore. What is that all about? And the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Now, they're kind of slapping them, but that's wrong. So your kids are going to start criticizing us and say that we have no part of you, we're not part of you, you're not our brethren, and our kids are going to quit serving the Lord. Now, they're blaming it on them. If their kids quit serving the Lord, that's not the reason, but they have the right mentality. Verse 26, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build an altar, not for burnt offering, not for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and your congregation after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him and with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices. In other words, here's what they're saying. We wanted to put this altar up. It's not an altar that was going to be used for anything except for sight and remembrance. And they said, we want this altar to be there so that if your children start to say, as in by children, they mean the future generation, say, look, we have nothing to do with them. You can show them that altar and say, they built that altar on the other side. Just because the Jordan River's there, they're still part of our brethren. That altar witnesses to that. And then our children understand that even though we're on this side of the Jordan, this is going to tell them we're still a part of their brethren. We're still supposed to fear the Lord, and we're still supposed to serve God. Remembrance. Let me say this and I'm done. One of the biggest things we need to do as we settle into our Christian life is this. We need to make sure the next generation gets it. We do. The problem is, if you don't settle in correctly, your children ought to know, you know what? Christianity is what our house does. We live for Jesus Christ. We're not budging, and you need to live for Jesus Christ when you get older. Like, it's like Pharaoh, like, yeah, you guys go serve the Lord. Leave your families behind. By the way, far too many people do that. We serve the Lord and we let our children do whatever they want. Not as long as they live in your house. I don't know, maybe this is a news flash and we've lost this over the years. Parents are in control of the home. No little five-year-old is going to tell me what to do. No little five-year-old, look, all of our kids when they were little say, hey, come on, get up, we're going to church. I don't want to go to church today. Well, neither do I, but let's get dressed, we're going. No one wants to go to church when you wake up in the morning. You want to go back to bed. But there are far too many people. Little Fufu didn't want to go to church today, so we'll stay home. You know, you decide, I want a Christian education. We'll go, I don't want to go to that Christian school. They're going to make that decision? Look, our goal is to not just be Christian in our life. Our goal is to be Christian in our life and pass that down to our children's lives so they pass it down to their children. That's why Christianity is dying in America. That's why Christianity has a bad name in America. Because we let the kids do what they want. There will come a time, now listen, I'm done. There will come a time as your children grow up, they get married, they leave the house, it's on them now. You're going to serve God, you have to choose to serve God. But we better put them in a place where that was just normal and they go with it. Because you know what happens? Some Christians, you get saved, God works in your life, you're serving him, and when you start to backpedal, your children will go way farther back. Remembrance. Now, I'm done. How are you? Are you settled into this thing? Is it just like, I'm not just a churchian, I want to be a Christian, and I want Christ to be, for me to live is Christ. That's what Paul said. Everything in my life is about one thing. Jesus Christ. And if you're settled into the Christian life, you know what you're saying? I'm all in. And it's not just now, it's forever. And I'm going to be vigilant, I'm going to take guard, and I'm going to make sure that that's who I am, and I'm going to pass that on to my family. Is that the faith you have? Or is it just like, you know, we get some of it, but, you know, this part over here, it's not as much Christian. We kind of let that go. Everything in your life ought to be that way. It ought to just be who you are. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. I hope you understand what I was trying to say. When I made the decision to serve Christ as an 18-year-old, the decision at that time was like a marriage decision. Till death do us part. I am serving God from now for the rest of my life. And there's been battles and there's been temptations and complacency tries to creep its way back in. But by the grace of God, I'm going to continue to go forward. Is that the kind of Christian life you have? Or is that the kind of Christian life you desire? You will never have it if you don't desire it. It starts with, I want it, I'm willing to do this. Is that who you are? Maybe you're here this morning and you had that kind of life and you're still hanging on, but you've allowed a bunch of things because you don't want the battles anymore. You've kind of got complacent. Well, you know, I know this church thing. Oh, no, it's not a church thing. It's a Jesus thing. Before we have our invitation, let me ask one more question. You cannot be settled into the Christian life until you become a Christian. You cannot live for Jesus unless you're one of his children. So here's the question this morning. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? If that's you, if you say, you know, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. To be real honest with you, between you and me, I do have some doubt. If that's you, with nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed, say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me about that? I'd like to know that. Just raise your hand real quick and I'll see your hand and pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Anybody at all? Okay, see you back there. Let's stand together this morning if we may. Are you settled in? Do you want to be settled in? Have you settled in and maybe you're starting to slide out? If God spoke to you about anything this morning, maybe you're letting, you're still in, but you're getting sloppy with your home and with your children, and you need to maybe just, you know, love them and push them towards the Lord. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come to this altar and do business with God?